Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
What are you making there?
Oh, this is my little Petri dish. I'm just stirring this up right here and just...
Okay.
There. Yeah, it's...
Are you making something or...
Yeah, I'm growing some meats.
You know, that sounds like a lot of BS. Bologna sandwich.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. It is actually a bologna sandwich.
This is Stranger Still. Stranger Still,
a podcast where we grow meats in little petri dishes and then we feed them to you like a delicious snack.
I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Vegan.
I was gonna yes and that, but I can't. You know why?
Why's that?
Because I had nowhere to go with it.
Okay, good.
How you doing, man?
Great. It's just everything's great. Can I vent for a second?
Yes.
I'm pretty good and there's nothing wrong. Like, everything's fine.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
I'm having a hard time believing you.
Tone has a lot of messages, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, have you ever eaten meat before?
Oh, wow.
Like this intro?
Yeah, it's pretty... Wow, did you put a lot of thought into that before you decided to just dive in?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've eaten meat before, Nick.
But you don't.
But I don't
know. You're a loser.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I think they're called vegans or vegetarians.
Oh, I misread it here in my notes. I had it in my notes.
Yeah, make sure to autocorrect that.
Let me just...
Okay, good.
It's fixed.
So
I'm
So yeah, I do not eat meat any longer. But that's what we're going to be talking about a little bit. And I figured we'd probably stumble upon a moral quandary or two.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to reveal how I feel about this until I learn more.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it'd be more interesting to gauge how you feel about it now, and then we can gauge how you feel about it at the end. Because as I found in talking to people. A lot of people are squeamish about lab-grown meat, and I kind of was too, and then I researched, and I'm like, this is way too cool.
It is?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, right now, if I have the opportunity to bite into a sinew,
okay,
I don't want to.
A sinew?
A sinew. A vein.
Oh, okay.
A natural occurrence of some kind of grossness.
I gotcha.
Some kind of tough piece or something bloody.
Okay.
Not into it. I'd rather have that fake garbage in my mouth.
Yeah. So there's a big movement for plant-based meats right now.
Yes.
There's Beyond Meat, Impossible Burger.
I've had all of them, I think.
Which one's the best?
The best is Beyond Meat, then Gardein, then Morningstar, then Daiya. Daiya does cheeses mostly.
What's the one you didn't say?
I don't know. Name it. I've had it.
Beyond Burger.
I've had the Beyond. I've had the Impossible.
Which one's better?
Impossible's better, but you can only buy it at stores.
Oh, okay.
Like at restaurants.
Yeah.
But they're both great. Like, I love me some BK now, which I never thought I'd say.
Yeah. But what if I just like black bean patties? So here's the quandary that my wife and I are faced with is that my wife doesn't like the taste of meat. And she wants black bean patties, and I really like black bean patties. But now when we go places, these restaurants no longer carry these because they're trying to do the Impossible Burger or the Beyond Meat Patty or all these dumb burger imitations that we don't want. We want a black bean patty. Give us a black bean patty.
Oh, man. You sound like Jerry Seinfeld.
What's the deal with Beyond Meats?
Yeah, great. No, I like the fake meats. Have you tried the Burger King Impossible Burger?
No, I've had one of them. I have no idea which one it is.
You probably had Beyond Burger.
Probably.
Impossible is what I meant, yeah. Impossible Whopper is what they're branding it as.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Big news right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a huge market.
Mm-hmm. And... So you are a vegan. You're a vegan.
I'm a vegan.
You're a vegan by choice for moral implications, not because of health or lack of enjoyment in meat products.
You're teaching me new things because in my mind it started as health.
Oh, did it?
Oh, I hate animals. I murder them, but I don't eat them. I just leave them there.
I'm asking you.
It's a little bit of both. So, I mean, one thing leads to another, right? I wanted to give it a shot, and I kind of went in steps.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from only chicken, no beef.
Yeah.
And they went vegetarian for 3 years.
But I love chicken. Oh, it's so good.
Great. I agree. Like, it tastes good. I can still understand that.
Yeah.
But it's the most abused animal on the planet, the chicken.
Yeah.
So I'm not into that. I'm not into this, like, eating something that had a personality turns me off.
Okay, like what?
I don't know. Like, think about, pigs are smarter than dogs, everyone says. That's like a buzz thing to say, right?
Yeah.
But if you've ever met one dog and then met another dog, they have different personalities, right?
Sure. Why not?
Why is it not possible for pigs to have that? It is. It's just that they're in an environment where they're in a tiny cage. And
where we separate them from being pets.
Right.
Yeah.
So if that animal has a personality, that gives, like, in my mind, it gives me a, like, it just turns me off to it.
Okay. I understand.
But also health. Like, I feel better eating vegan. So.
Okay, good. Do you get your
B12? I get my B12, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
You lost seaweed,
or you do it's totally... So, usually cyanobiclin, I think it's called.
Yeah.
It's from mushrooms.
Cytoblacin?
Cyanobiclin.
Okay.
Sounds like Ned Flanders' cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get my B12 from there or from vitamin water and stuff like that. Also, nutritional yeast.
Oh, vitamin water has it.
Nutritional yeast also has... That's a good, more natural way to get that.
We do nooch in our house.
You do some nooch. I put nooch on my popcorn yesterday.
Yeah, very nice.
And your wife taught me the slang term nooch.
Nooch, yeah.
Yeah, she's so hip.
She's pretty hip.
You want short and hip, it's... Your wife's so hip.
We've talked enough about why you're a vegan.
Okay. So why are you not? Is what we're going to get into now.
Because I hate animals.
Oh, okay.
So you've heard of lab-grown meat,
mm-hmm.
or culture meat, or slaughter-free meat, or in vitro meat, or vat meat. Or
vat meat is not going to continue. We're going to discontinue that sentence. That is bad marketing.
Or cell-based meat, or clean meat, or cultivated meat, or synthetic meat.
Okay, yeah.
I got this list from Wikipedia.
oh, boy. Which we've apologized for before.
About what?
Using Wikipedia as a source.
Well, I only got it for this list.
Okay.
But what is lab-grown meat, my friend?
Lab-grown meat is when you take a cow and you poke a little needle in them, mm-hmm. and you say, I'm going to take your DNA.
You know a lot more about this than I thought you would.
And
keep
then
going.
You're going to take that DNA.
Yeah.
And you're going to separate it.
Yep.
You're going to put it into a little dish.
Yeah.
And you're going to add some Miracle-Gro.
Yeah.
And you're
going to
watch that cultivate.
Miracle-Gro.
Week later, you got a burger.
That's exactly how it works.
Is it?
End of the episode.
Okay. Where can you find us, Nick?
So, a lab-grown meat is different from, like, the Beyond Patty or Impossible Burger, whatever,
mm-hmm.
because those are vegetable and plant-based products that are trying to
mimic
the taste of meat,
right.
and the texture of meat, and the blood of meat, which I don't understand that. Why do they gotta make these things bleed with beet juice?
Because you're trying to not only...
But that doesn't do anything for me.
Well,
I guess it does for some people.
Do you eat real burgers?
Yes.
So then it doesn't make a difference to you. But for people that are trying to transition from real burgers into fake meat, it makes a difference to have the blood. Also, as a chef, like as a amateur chef,
okay.
I do have a Rachel Ray cookware set. But when I throw that
on, 7 years ago,
yes, it's still
it's
holding
antique.
Up. It's purple. It's a collector's edition. Yeah. So when I throw my meat on, and you have the blood, the hemoglobin from like a plant tissue or from a beet. It makes a difference in how you cook. It makes a difference in the taste.
Okay, so, I don't believe you, but let's keep going.
You want it to be realistic.
That just doesn't do anything. Like, just give me a black bean. Anyway, I've said my piece about black beans.
But you eat real burgers.
But, like, if I was given the choice, if someone's like, hey, I'm taking away your burgers,
mm-hmm.
and either you have to eat something that tastes kind of like burgers and bleeds, or a black bean patty, I'd take the black bean patty.
Okay, so
in fact,
it.
When I go to Red Robin, I just eat a black bean patty.
Okay.
Because they still have them
so
for now.
So, let's do this then. What's the year?
2019.
Thank you. By 2020, do you think you could try being vegetarian?
Sure.
Okay. That was a solid sure. Did everybody hear that? Let's see how we could get. Because is your wife a vegetarian?
Yes.
Is Rory a vegetarian?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, we have time.
Yeah.
She'll grow
she doesn't
into it
know,
too.
She doesn't know that, like, chickens are cool.
Yeah, she has to hang out with chickens.
We went to a farm and she was afraid of the cow.
Mm.
Because it was very loud. Because
it was holding a knife, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the difference, the thing that I was trying to get to, like, 4 minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
is that lab meat is meat. It is muscle from a cow or a chicken or fish or pork or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just grown it in a petri dish. So there are those out there that say if the worst thing that comes to this animal is a needle in the butt, we just pull out some muscle tissue and we can grow basically infinite burgers out of this or infinite pork chops or whatever. That's probably worth it, just to poke
down
in the butt.
Yeah, this is like a very pro vegetarian vegan industry.
Yeah,
it seems to be, or companies. I don't know how many are doing this.
There's a lot.
Yeah,
there's like 30 out there as of 2012 or something.
Sweet.
Or 2013, something like that. So right now, before we get into this, if someone sat a burger in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and said, this was grown in a lab, would you eat it?
I don't think so. It's real blood. It's just not from an animal.
It's not. There is no blood. I will tell you that.
Okay. But it's real meat.
It is real meat. It is real ass meat.
Yeah. I mean, it's 2019. Who doesn't like ass meat? So
what if I told you,
it's the best part of the animal.
What if this waiter put down the plate and said, this costs between $500 and $300,000 and is really dry and mostly mush and an off pink color.
Mm-hmm.
Then would you eat it?
Well, you know, I'm going to take this real quick. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I have to run to the bathroom and then I'm going to go onto my auction site and I'm going to sell that meat for $300,000.
I asked my brother this and he said the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So
doesn't seem worth to eat something that expensive. No,
but that was also 6 years ago at this point.
Hasn't the price drastically decreased, Nicholas?
Yes, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But I do want to say, like, between 2012 and 2013, in 2012 they announced it, in 2013 it actually came out. There's a company that put out a fully lab-grown hamburger patty, but it cost over $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And critics, they gave it to, like, reporters.
What's
and
this Rotten Tomato score?
Like a 10.
Okay. They were into it.
They gave it to reporters and they were quick to point out that it was a weird color and it was really dry and didn't have a lot of taste.
And they were bankrupt for the next 30 years.
Not even, because it hasn't been 30 years.
Okay.
But the point is, we found out that there's a lot that we have to figure out before this stuff hits the market. And a lot of people are quick to point out the bad stuff about this burger, but can it become the wave of the future? What do you think?
I don't know. Give me a surfboard. Let's find out.
So the good news is, in that time, we've come a long way. How long do you think we've been working on lab-grown meat?
Since 2000?
Not ancient Egypt.
Yeah, I mean, no, probably not. This is the one time I'm probably not going to go back there, because you usually pull a fast one. Even now, I'm not sure. Like, I'm considering that it might be ancient Egypt. I'm going to say probably, like, the 1990s.
You were closer with your first gut.
Ancient Egypt?
No. You were about to say 2000 or something like
okay.
that. It was 2001. There's this group of bioengineers at Touro College in New York. Do you know the place?
Oh, yeah. I know everyone in New York.
Yeah, that's how I figured.
Yeah.
They took some muscle tissue from a goldfish.
Okay.
They plopped it into a mix of fetal bovine serum, whatever that means.
Sounds delicious.
And they were able to grow that tissue.
Bovine is cow.
Yes, but fetal bovine serum? I don't know what the serum is.
It's like cow, baby, fetal is baby.
I know what these words mean separately, John. You don't have to explain
that. Let me explain exactly how this works, Nicholas.
Yeah, okay, go.
We'll go into the science. No, go on.
So they plopped it in this serum and it grew 14% larger than it was. So they were able to take living tissue, plop it in some mystery serum and make it grow. That was like the first time that anyone had experimented with this.
Great. Do we have that serum to pump it in my muscles and pull me up?
Yeah, that's what like most football players use these days.
Okay.
Fetal bovine serum.
Great. Sounds delicious. Just throw it in a shake.
Gross. So it wasn't in 2008. Norway held like the first conference to try to encourage scientists to pursue lab-grown meat, to pursue this venture in a new industry. And luckily it took off. A bunch of people started working on it. I think I said in 2012, more than 30 companies were already trying to come up with lab-grown meat solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, in 2013, that burger I talked about before came from Maastricht University in the Netherlands. And they produced a $300,000 burger. When they presented it to the journalist, they said it was dry.
Now, hold on a sec.
And
they presented a $300,000 burger.
Yeah, and the people said, this is dry.
I get that they said it was dry.
Yeah.
But they created that price out of thin air. And that was the price that the journalist was willing to pay to eat it to write an article?
No, I think that they gave it to these journalists, but said, hey, this
is $300,000 because we just made up that's how much it's going to cost.
I assume that that's how much like research and development went into it.
That makes
just
sense.
Just like an iPhone. Like, you're not paying for the parts, you're paying for the R&D that went into it.
I know about R&D. I played Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You got to put it all into food and thrill rides.
Here's what you do. Let me tell you right now quick.
Yeah.
What you do, Nicholas.
Put it into...
Free drinks, okay? Free drinks. Sounds like you're going to lose money.
Okay.
$10 bathrooms. That's how you win Roller Coaster Tycoon. Put them right next to each other.
Yeah.
That you're welcome, like everyone listening.
You know what we always did was we would make the fries really cheap.
Okay.
Make them salty.
Yep.
Up the drink price.
Oh, boy. That's another... Yeah, that's a getter.
We have no idea if it actually worked because I don't think the game was that smart.
Nope,
but
probably not.
Anyway, so since then, people have been trying to bring that price down. Last year, a company called Memphis Meats was able to produce a $600 patty. And Beyond Meat is working alongside their plant-based patties, working on a cultured meat patty that they expect to put out on the market next year for $50 a patty, which is a lot.
Not in New York and LA, but that's probably where people eat them. So
that's true. That's very true. So there's a lot of problems. We talked about taste, and I don't know if I've mentioned this so much, but it is basically just a mush that they have to put into the shape of a patty.
Yeah.
But a lot of that comes down to how this stuff is made. And
do you know if they have binders for that to put it in the shape of a patty, or they just push it in? Did you get that in the research?
Binders
like egg. So like you usually get like ground beef and you would add something.
Yeah. We've got some pretty cool stuff. This is why this is so fascinating, because we're in the middle of it, dude. And there's so much being learned about it. And it's just like, it's so simple to explain it, but it's so fascinating.
Okay.
I'm on team lab grown meats.
Okay.
I'm gonna show my hand.
That's fine. You eat real meat though, so that's an easy transition.
Yeah.
I feel like in order to get vegans on board, there has to be a cultural shift, because veganism is about consent, right?
Yeah.
So you cannot consent from taking that needle in that animal.
But there's no nerves.
There's no nerves, but it is real meat.
But there.
Did they want to be in that big farm?
We'll have a debate after the break. Later in this episode. So.
Do they have health insurance, the cows that get a needle in their butt?
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vision and dental?
No.
Okay. Well, that changes my opinion, but let's keep going.
I was trying to find like a vision joke with cows, and all I could get was move closer.
What's the lowest line you could read? Oh, yes. It does say M-O-O-O-O-O.
So let's talk about how this stuff is made, because that's where this stuff is really cool.
Okay.
There's a few ways that this stuff is created. Most of it comes from where it starts. So there's like three ways that you can start making lab grown meat. The first one is the goldfish, where you take a live muscle tissue sample, like a leg muscle, an arm muscle, gill muscle, whatever. I'm sure that doesn't taste very good, but you take the normal tissue, you put it in the slurry of nutrient rich liquids that encourages it to keep growing. But the problem with that is that you can only grow it a little bit. Like that goldfish tissue only grew 14%.
Yeah.
That's not going to make a patty.
Right.
Unless you're taking a lot of goldfish
muscles.
That's
like a popcorn goldfish bite. Disgusting.
Just pop it in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The other solution is to use stem cells. And we all know how people feel about stem cells, but these are like bovine and pig stem cells. So maybe people are a little less queasy about it.
I don't know. I'm not in that world. I like stem cells.
Yeah, we already talked about it.
Yeah.
The benefit of these is that they can grow super rapidly, and you can basically like take one stem cell and make trillions of stem cells out of it. But you have to figure out like the right enzymes and amino acids and proteins to put in the petri dish with it that tell it which cells to grow into. So you have to like tell this to grow into a muscle cell or fat cells or whatever. So that's when I say if like real blood, there is no blood, because they're not cultivating blood cells. They're cultivating meat muscle cells.
Okay. I can see that being an addition that they add on eventually.
And they're going to have to for reasons that we'll get into. The last option that some people discussed is you need to find somewhere in between, like a myoblast, which is somewhere in between like a live muscle tissue. I forgot to say, on stem cells, you can find stem cells that are predetermined what they're going to be, so you don't have to introduce them to the enzymes and stuff, but they don't grow very much. So you got to find something in between, and that would be a myoblast. And this knows what it's going to be, but it doesn't quite produce as much as stem cells. So it seems like most people are still working with stem cells to get these patties off the table, on the table, off
the
ground, and onto the table.
Okay.
So
off the booty.
Off the booty.
And into the
skadooty.
Yep, you got it. Got it in one.
Got it in one. Swish. So,
just like they say in golf, hole and swish.
So the benefit is, with stem cells, is you can make a crap load of them. You can tell it what you want it to be. They can, like you said, quite accurately, you just stick a needle into a cow or a pig or whatever, and you grab the stem cells that you find there. You throw them into a petri dish. You tell them, you encourage them to keep growing, and then you turn those into muscle cells. You have to provide it with a bunch of nutrients so that it can divide and create more.
What are those nutrients from? Is that from other animals?
That's a really good question. All that I found, and I did look extensively, was that they're just different amino acids and nutrients.
Melt down some vitamins.
Maybe, yeah. Well, a lot of vitamins and stuff you can extract from plants.
Yeah.
So I imagine that you can do that.
Well, I guess it doesn't. That's not a priority if they're already using animal products.
Yeah. But I went as far as looking up a scientific research article as to which amino acids have like certain influences on stem cells, and I was like, this is way over my head.
We need to call Justin up.
Yeah. So from here, there's a couple ways that they can grow the meat. The easiest is just to let it go, and as the muscle cells divide and grow, they naturally form myotubes, which are just long tubes of muscle cells, and eventually these become big enough that they can make like a ground beef patty out of it. And this, it ends up in almost a colorless mush of meat. Like, it's very white, has almost no color.
Like you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I think. And they're like only 2 centimeters long. They're like these little strips that are like 2 centimeters long, 1 centimeter wide, and 1 millimeter thick, if I described that correctly.
Yeah. I just imagine how ground beef looks like. Little squiggles.
Yeah. Kind of like a squiggle, but it's incredibly small. So they have to make a bunch of these and then mush them all together.
Like spaghetti, the Italian pasta.
Is that, what is that?
Spaghetti?
I don't know what a spaghetti is.
Spaghetti and meatballs? You never had them?
I know what meatballs are. I've never heard of spaghetti.
Spaghetti? You've never had spaghetti?
Never, like never long, a spaghetti.
So it's like a long, thin pasta.
Uh-huh.
And when you cook it, it gets soft. And then you troll your fork
in
it.
Oh, you mean spaghetti.
Oh, yeah. See, it's a cultural difference.
Yeah, it's an Iowa thing.
Okay.
So other researchers, and this is my favorite part, there's other researchers working on introducing different types of muscle scaffolding. So
sounds delicious.
This is like what I'd consider a binding agent, sort of, like,
okay,
not quite egg or whatever, but our bodies and animal bodies naturally have like a mix of water and collagen and other proteins that tell our muscles when and where and how to grow. They tell them like the direction that they should grow.
It makes sure we're strong and delicious.
Yes.
Okay.
What do you think humans taste like?
Well, that's what I'm going to get to at the end of this episode.
Okay.
Because I don't see a difference right now, and I'll tell you why.
Remember that episode of Adventure Time?
I've seen every one of them 3 times.
It was like in the first season where, we'll talk about it after the break. We can't keep interrupting ourselves
okay.
Don't let me forget. I'm going to put it in my notes.
People hate tangents. I learned anything, they're like, give me the facts.
Adventure.
I'm not here to have fun. I'm here to learn.
Adventure Time. Did I say Adventure Zone or Adventure Time? Because I meant Adventure Time.
Both are great. Adventure Time is my favorite cartoon of all time, though.
Yeah. So, now that I put Adventure Time in my notes, I lost my place. So we have this natural scaffolding that tells our muscle cells which direction to grow, what kind of cells to make, and when to do it. And as a result, researchers are trying to find ways to replicate this. So some researchers said, what if we took collagen, because that's what helps our muscles grow, made it into gelatin, made gelatin out of it, which is kind of counterintuitive, but we'll get there. And they use that to form the shape of a newly grown muscle in the lab. So they've played around with it a lot, but at first they just took like commercially available gelatin. You'd get to like make Jell-O or something.
Yeah.
And they spun it like cotton candy, so it was like this fibrous material. They introduced it to different enzymes that combined all the fibers into like a netting, and then used that to create a stable structure for these muscle cells to grow on. Which, how freaking cool is that?
I mean, a little bit. I'm a little bummed because I know where gelatin comes
gelatin.
From.
But. So that's one of the counterintuitive things. But there are researchers out there that are looking for non-animal based methods of scaffolding, and this is super cool. They take things like spinach and apples and mushrooms, and I think like artichoke hearts or something like that. They dip it in like acids and remove all of the plant cells but leave all of the structure, and they use that for scaffolding.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? So like cut an apple in half, remove all of the plant cells, and you just have like a skeleton behind, and you tell muscles to grow on that.
Gross, but that's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
This is why I love this stuff. It is
a meat
definitely
apple.
Objectively gross, but it's so cool. Like, you, the other cool thing is with the scaffolding,
a bruschetta banana.
Yeah. So
an artichoke ribeye. A ribeye choke.
That's a better one.
Should've
led with that one.
I should have led with that one, yeah.
As we learn more about the scaffolding, we can like
a steak berry.
A steak berry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in. It probably wasn't worth it. Keep going.
So we learned more about the scaffolding. We can put nutrients in the scaffolding so we don't have to like keep it in this petri dish. We can also, like, if we wanted to create marbling that occurs naturally in the meats, like a hamburger is not just muscle, it's also fat.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it taste good.
Yeah. So if we can marble it with fats and other delicious stuff, we can make them tastier, not so bland and not so dry. The fat also makes it moist.
Terrible word.
Moist.
Good, but it's got a good heart, you know? It's for a good cause. You don't want dry meat.
Right. So we can also, this is so cool, we can also expose the growing meats on the scaffolding to different temperatures and conditions that cause the meat to expand and contract, or also known as exercise it.
Oh,
so
wow.
Just like muscle is exercised on a farm while it's growing, we can exercise this meat as it's growing in a lab.
So humans have taken apples, mm-hmm. removed the plant cells, made mm-hmm. them into skeleton apples.
Yes.
Made meat grow on them and throw them on a treadmill?
Yes, basically. Okay. That's sweet. Stuff's so cool.
We'll see. I'm still on the fence.
So there's other companies out there that are like trying to experiment with all this, like do a little bit of scaffolding, 3D print layers in between mm-hmm. different scaffolds.
Like, paint and primer.
Yeah, right. So you can make like a 2-inch slab of meat, 3D
meat
print
carrots,
like fat between
your
it.
Meat celery.
This is getting grosser and grosser the more you talk.
Yeah, meat grapes, little meatballs on a bulb of grapes.
Yeah,
pick off your meatballs.
It's perfect.
You
it's like
can.
It's like prime science fiction.
Yeah, make them into meat wine.
So the gelatin group, after they successfully grew some meat on their gelatin scaffolding, they did a bunch of tests on it. Like, they put it on a hot plate and tried to cook it. They like mushed it with a fork. They also figured out how much pressure you'd have to put on a knife to cut through it, and compared that to regular meat, and found that it was on par with a regular beef patty.
Okay.
So that's the direction that like lab grown meat is going to have to go, is this amazing scaffolding stuff. Are you appetized yet?
I'm on the fence, Nick. I'd rather eat a brick right now, but we're going to keep going and we're going to learn a lot more.
Are we? That's about it. That's how lab grown meat is made. Yeah.
And that convinced you.
Yeah, that's so cool. You don't think that's amazing?
I think it's amazing, Nick.
Yeah. Okay, tell me what your concerns are and we'll address them.
Okay. Where are these cows kept?
The cow? What cows?
The cows that we're sticking a needle in.
They're just on a farm.
They're just on a farm?
Yeah.
Are they beef cows? So they're going to be killed anyway?
Maybe, but hang on.
Okay.
Down the road, maybe we don't need to do that.
That's great.
We don't need to raise cows for slaughter anymore.
Yeah, sell me on this. I want you to convince me. Because you might have that ability.
Well, I'm gonna convince you by addressing all of your concerns. So keep going.
Okay.
You're worried about farms.
I'm worried about the how the cows are kept.
Okay.
Right. Or the pork, or like the pigs or whatever.
So in the future,
mm-hmm.
we don't need farms. We grow cows, and we're like, hey, you get to live here now. But hey, I need to poke your butt.
Now hold on. Oh boy, if I had a nickel. So I have let's say that we have a cow that, boy, great DNA.
Yeah.
Beautiful cow.
Yeah.
Can we store that DNA like sperm? Like keep it in a fridge?
Yeah. If we have stem cells and we cultivate like a full petri dish of trillions of stem cells, we can take one of those stem cells and then cultivate that into trillions more stem cells.
So they are self-duplicating, but they can be duplicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't have to go back for original samples?
That would make a difference after a while. I don't know.
So that would make a difference.
I don't know enough about stem cells,
If you had a collection of cells, and it was from a cow that lived 100 years ago, but now it's just cells, and they keep growing these cells on a farm, and they sell them to these providers.
Yeah.
That would make a difference to vegans, I think.
Yeah.
Also, then we've got the whole gelatin thing.
Well, so that's why we got to figure out better scaffolding, because gelatin's not a solution to that.
No, because that comes from you have to kill a pig and take
it. Yeah, but if you could find other organic compounds like silk or even just a leaf, you know, you could use that as scaffolding. So that's one of the main reasons that they're doing that is they're trying to improve taste. They're trying to get better yields out of their crop, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also, like, for non-vegans, meat eaters are going to be like, well, I want my steak.
Yeah, meat eaters are going to have a much bigger market for this product.
Yes.
And then vegetarians will have an easier switch.
So you have to be able to provide them with, like, beef chucks and pork chops and stuff. So that's one way that they're, with scaffolding, they're trying to figure out how they can make a full steak out of this stuff.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, vegans and vegetarians already attuned to the different types of meat because the industry has really, like, I go to like a Nubo market nearby or something like that.
Yeah.
I am not just buying fake beef. I'm buying fake ground beef, fake ribeye, fake like all that. That's that already exists.
So you have to be able to make that in a lab.
Yeah.
And we're not there yet.
Right.
But someday we hope to be.
And even bone. Because marrow makes a difference in taste.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that go into it.
Yeah.
So taste, if we're going to talk about taste, it's pretty bland right now. I've said a million times it's dry. Most of that's due to a lack of fat tissue, but also blood and
You mentioned
marrow.
Blood would have to be something they look into eventually.
So one way that they're trying to solve for this, my opinion is you'd have to treat it like any other type of hamburger. This is kind of a weird tangent, but I think about this all the time. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, when Gordon Ramsay was on Hot Ones on YouTube, and the host asked him, like, how do you make the perfect hamburger? And he said you have to have 10% fat, 10% beef chuck, and like the remaining 80% is like half lean beef and like forearm. And you grind all that up, which doesn't sound appetizing to you, but then you make a hamburger out of that. You have to treat this very much
forearm?
The same way. Yeah, forearm meat.
Oh.
That's just Gordon Ramsay for you. So you need fat, and you need all of these different things that make up a cow, basically.
Yeah.
And you need to mix all this together to get the right flavor. And that's, unfortunately, we have to figure out how to do it first, and then we can play around with the right mixture.
Well, it seems like the basics are there.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing meat from not an animal.
Yeah.
And we're eating it.
Yeah.
And it's a mass produced enough at least to get the door open to think this is like this could be a sustainable industry.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem too far off to add blood to that mix.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's able to be grown at the same time or if it'll have to be grown separately as ingredients and then combined.
Either way, doesn't matter.
Yeah, it does.
If you can mix them,
if you can grow them all at the same time, that's going to save productivity for the companies.
Yeah, probably. But there's a ton of startups right now, and they've got like investors like, of course, Bill Gates, but also like Tyson, the chicken.
Oh, good.
Producers like in on it. Yeah. So there's a lot of capital going into it right now, which is great. That's what we need is capital for this. So what are your other concerns?
My other concerns? I mean, it's mostly just where the animals are being kept and how they're being treated and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, like, we're poking needles in them and they don't really like that. Like, it's for our benefit. So, if we give that a pass and we say that them getting poked once is going to save 1,000 chickens, that's a pretty damn good argument.
That is a damn good argument. Yeah. I'd have to agree.
But I don't want to bite into a vein, even if it's grown in a lab.
Okay.
But I guess they'd have to look into that, too, to grow veins.
Yeah, they'd have to do that consciously.
Because you're growing it piece by piece. You're breaking everything apart.
Yeah. So I've got some other concerns that we can address, such as price. Like a $600 patty is not feasible. Even a $50 patty is pretty not feasible for people.
Yeah. So that's not even an issue that concerns me at all. Because
well, it is for some people. That's why I want to address it.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going to address it. But the biggest issue the biggest group that should be concerned with that are the producers.
Yeah.
They should be concerned because they're not going to be able to sell it for that price.
Yeah.
So that's why it makes me not worried, because I know that they know.
It makes me worried on two fronts.
If I don't get the price down, no one's going to get it.
It makes me worried on two fronts, because if people aren't going to buy it, then there's no industry for it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's also expensive, then meat producers are going to undercut them.
And say this is cheaper.
Yeah. So with price, there's a company called Future Meat Technologies said that they think they can make a $10 patty. But there's one company out there, and I can't remember who it was. And if I remember, I'll put it in the show notes. But they basically said if we could produce this lab-grown meat at the scale that beef producers raise their four slaughter cows, we could get easily past a $10 benchmark. We could get like the price of a Big Mac for these patties.
Here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Here's where you got me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat it. I would invest in it.
Yeah.
I would support it, and I would convince other people to eat it.
Sure. So the other thing that I kind of alluded to is the beef farmers, and that's what worries me most, because they have a lot riding on this. And this is my grandpa was a Black Angus beef farmer for a long time.
Yeah.
And my dad and I were talking about like plant-based meats, and I don't think we talked specifically about lab-grown meats, but he's like, I'm worried about them. I was like, so what? There's two things.
Okay.
The first is there also used to be milkmen and switch phone operators and elevator operators. It's not like these people just don't have jobs and they just shriveled up died.
I want you to finish your point, but I have something to add to.
Yeah. These people are going to have jobs. But the second thing is these beef farmers already have a network and infrastructure for shipping meats. So what if we could, we gave these farmers the equipment to grow this meat. We gave them the stem cells. We gave them all the equipment to produce this. And we said, hey, you grow this and you ship it out to the stores for us.
Mm-hmm.
They have a job still and they're getting plenty of money off of it.
Yeah. Here's my disconnect. I am a thinker where I think, in my understanding of this, I don't think that there's probably plenty of beef farmers that are not bad people, yeah, per se. They just have, hey, well, this is, you know, it's a simpler view of life. They're not thinking about the empathetic, mm-hmm, nature of, well, I'm murdering animals.
Yeah.
This is a job and it's a paycheck. But it's very similar to a lot of other industries that are going out of date.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as, if we're going to get a little political, the Green New Deal, right? Yeah. We're transitioning coal jobs into like solar jobs.
Yeah.
That's what the same thing that we would need to be done with this.
Yeah.
You'd move people from, you know, actual slaughter mm-hmm, beef into, yeah, future beef.
And I'm worried about like what GM did to the public transit system in California and stuff, and they basically like shot the trolleys down because they wanted to sell more cars. That's mm-hmm, what I'm afraid of happening. Like, this stuff isn't even on the shelves yet, and beef farmers are already calling for lab grown meats to be labeled differently, which is fine because people want to know what they're buying, but you're already trying to split this divide and say us versus them,
yeah,
instead of being like, let's work together to, well, I'm kind of bearing the lead here, to save the environment.
Yeah. It's because, so odd, because it's like they're kind of like a third party candidate there. Like, they're, because you've got the meat eaters, you got, yeah, the vegans, and then there's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
But they should bridge everybody together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It should not be us versus them. It should be, we're humans. Mm-hmm. This is my post-humanist talking.
Yeah.
We are all humans. And this is the next step in how we're going to eat.
Not only in morality, but in sustainability.
Yeah. So check this out. This is my favorite stat.
All right.
You ready?
No.
Save this.
Just give me, hold on. I'm ready.
So we've talked about morality. That's all fine and dandy. But there was one researcher by the name of Hannah Tuomisto at Oxford University.
That, if you give me a climate change stat, I'm going to hug you.
I'm gonna.
Okay.
They led one study and they said cultured meat could potentially be produced with up to 96 lower greenhouse gas emissions, 45% less energy, 99 lower land use, and 96 lower water use than conventional meat.
Wow.
So right now it takes, I used to have this stat in my mind, it's like
500 billion gallons of water for one almond.
Well, no, because it's less for cows. So it's like, yeah, 100,000 gallons of water for a cow. Now you don't need that. You just need the nutrients for a single cell to consume and divide into another cell.
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
And just continue that. That's going to cut down on a crap load of stuff. So even if you're on the edge about it, like, oh, that's kind of gross. It doesn't taste that good. It's pretty expensive. What if I told you that we could cut out 96% of the greenhouse gases that cows produce?
That's amazing. And I don't understand the argument from people that eat meat that they think this is gross. It's, if anything, cleaner and more controlled.
Yeah. It's like, there's...
I really don't get, like, I'm not trying to be facetious.
I don't see, like, any downsides to this.
Yeah.
And I don't... People might think it's not safe, but it's just muscle. Like, it's not the growth hormones that we give to chickens. Mm-hmm. It's not any of the... We don't keep cows pregnant to get their milk and stuff.
Yeah, you,
like,
have a pig in a gestation crate that's have to live its whole life covered in stress, and then that, yeah, stress gets transferred into your bacon.
Yeah, like, the things that make GMOs and hormone-fed chickens not safe is the hormones that they're being given and the pesticides used on the crop. Mm-hmm. This is none of that. This is just muscle and fat. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sold now.
Yeah. I think this is the way of the future, and I'm excited to see where we go. However, I still really love black bean patties.
Okay, yeah, that's, I mean...
Let me have a choice between lab-grown meats and black bean patties,
not
just
one of them.
Do you have
black bean patties in your
house? Yes, I do.
All right, maybe we'll eat black bean
patties. We got like a 12-pack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I might invite myself over for dinner after. We'll see.
All right. Well, before we can get there, we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
John.
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Oh boy, you sound like a little fella from a cartoon.
Yes.
Which we're going to get into in just a moment. People can find us on StrangersListShow.com.
You also find us at like iTunes, leave us a review to offset the bad ones we've gotten.
Yeah, we got a really bad one and it hurt our feels.
Yeah,
all
right
the
feel.
All of them. It hurt his feel, hurt my feel. That's both multiple feels. That's feels.
Yeah.
Right?
I can feel.
So 5-star minimum.
Yeah.
Go onto iTunes and do it, please.
Thank you.
If you haven't done it before, like, oh, I've heard them say this before. Like, just like actually do it though.
Yeah, don't be a jerk. Even if you're on Android, you just go to iTunes.
It doesn't make you a jerk to not do it. It just makes you a great person to do it.
No, they're still a jerk.
Okay.
So, remember that episode of Adventure Time where Princess Lady Rainicorn.
Okay.
Where Lady Rainicorn invites her parents over and...
They're puppies. Well, oh, no, they are. They're rainicorns too, yeah.
Yeah.
But they hate puppies because the rainicorns...
They hate puppies. Well, they think that they hate puppies.
Because of the mushroom wars.
But they also think that they love eating human meat.
Did they say that?
Yeah. So, like, Finn's really afraid of it, but they have, like, synthetic human meat. And the episode ends with him taking a bite of it, and he has this little tiny smile, and it cuts right when he smiles. Yeah. You don't remember that episode?
No, I'm going to have to rewatch that.
That's why I was asking what human meat would probably taste
so
like.
So does that make a difference to you?
What?
If they grew human meat in a lab?
Let me think about this. No.
Because it's the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, we're already doing that for, like, skin grafting and stuff.
Okay. So if they, instead of skin grafting, they made it a consumable muscle.
Yeah.
You're down?
I wouldn't eat it, but I wouldn't be like... That's you immoral. Shouldn't do that.
Okay. Because in my mind, what's the difference?
Right. But also in my mind, it's like...
And if you do have a problem with it, you have to question, well, then why do I feel like these animals have less empathy for me than a human does?
But it's...
But the human is able to consent.
Yeah.
So if anything, it's even more edible.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, that's not a big deal. Like...
All right, here's what we're going to do.
Let me say,
Chris... We already established 2019, right?
Yeah.
All right. 2030.
Yeah.
What's our Patreon?
Flyingmachine.com / that's not it.
Raise us some money.
Patreon.com/flyingmachine.
By 2030, we will grow lab grown meat of each other and eat it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to get some of your stem cells. And you
I won't eat
an
animal, but I eat like a Nick forum, you know?
Yeah. Put in your Gordon Ramsay perfect hamburger or whatever.
10% fat, 10% Nick.
Yeah.
100% awesome.
Yeah. And what's that? How's that song go?
There's a lot of songs, Nick. Which one are you?
10% power, 10% Nick Wood, 10%, 100% something about playing
the game. Is this some kind of kids
thing? No.
Eminem? You know it?
No.
Do you know any other rappers?
No.
Okay, I don't know it then.
What else did we say we were going to talk about?
It's just Adventure Time.
Quandaries?
The moral quandaries. That's it right there. I mean, that's what I was going to mention, is human meat.
Yeah.
And we already decided we're going to eat each other's forearms by 2030 if you donate on Patreon.
I'm down to clown.
Okay.
So go to flyingmachine.network or patreon.com/flyingmachine. Kick a few bucks our way and we'll eat each other's forearms.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
a
real thing.
Take that out of context. I'm still Nick.
I'm still John.
This is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.